This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using diamonds only responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launched on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On 49ers and Locked On Jets, an impromptu offseason crossover episode as the New York Jets have hired former 49ers assistants Robert Saleh as their new head coach and Mike LaFleur as their offensive coordinator. So Brian Peacock here of Locked On 49ers. I'm with John Butchko of Locked On Jets. I think there's a number of things, John, that we can get into in this podcast, not just what it's going to look like with the new coaching staff in New York, which was the reason we got together today. But I was thinking, you know what? There's so many other angles to this, so many other free agents maybe that the Jets could bring in from the 49ers, other coaches, what schemes could look like, and maybe even these teams could now that they're even more friendly, could have some dealings when it comes to trades in the draft. So I think there's a ton to get into, John, so I'm kind of excited about it.
I'm excited too, and part of the reason I'm excited is that it is a new start for the New York Jets franchise. It's been a rough decade. If you go back, the Jets have not made the playoffs in 10 years, and a lot of excitement around the hiring of Robert Saleh, what he's going to bring to the table. And as you said, Brian, there's a lot to talk about. Who would have thought that the New York Jets and the San Francisco 49ers would have so much in common heading into this offseason?
And there was so much talk with other franchises and Robert Saleh. The Jets were not the team I expected for Robert Saleh to land. But the more I think about it, the more I like it for the Jets. And I've talked about it all along, and earlier on in the season, it was looking like they're going to have the number one overall pick, and I thought, man, this might be one of the best jobs that there is. You get to go be the king of New York, right? And get Trevor Lawrence, and then I love Joe Douglas personally. I don't know what the thoughts are locally about Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, but I think he's doing a fantastic job, so I think it's actually a pretty attractive job. And I think number one, like right away, the big thing that probably has to change the most, which is why I think Saleh is a good fit, is culture.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The Jets have had massive cultural issues over the last few years under Adam Gase. You've had a number of high-profile players leave the team under some ugly circumstances. When you talk about Jamal Adams, when you talk about Le'Veon Bell, there also have been a number of issues with injured players filing grievances with the team. There have been plenty of rumors about locker room discontent, certain incidents. And these are just the things that we know right now. It's not just that the Jets are losing, it's that the Jets have had a really bad reputation in the league. It's something that's hurt them in a number of ways. It's hurt them recruiting free agents through the years. They've had to massively overpay to get players to come to New York. It's the type of thing that really does need to be cleaned up. And I think, as you said, that's one of the things that has people excited about Robert Saleh.
I want to let you grill me questions about Saleh and Mike LaFleur and what that could look like potentially on the field for the New York Jets and off of it. But I want to ask you first, what's the vibe from Jets fans right now versus the Gase hire? Because I think some people were surprised by the Adam Gase hire, and maybe that wasn't as universally liked. It seems like everyone's pretty on board about Robert Saleh.
I think in one sense, Robert Saleh has the easiest job possible because he's following Adam Gase. Adam Gase was the guy nobody wanted. You know, it was amazing 2 years ago, Brian. You know, I speak with a lot of Jets fans and everybody had a different opinion. You know, some people wanted Mike McCarthy, who had won the Super Bowl ring on his resume. Some people wanted Matt Rhule, who was the up and coming coach. Some people wanted Cliff Kingsbury, who was viewed as the bright offensive mind. But every person I spoke with practically said something to the effect of, this is the guy I really want. I could probably talk my way into this candidate. Just as long as they don't hire Adam Gase, I'll be okay. Oh, that's what they said 2 years ago. And because we had watched it, we Adam Gase was in the AFC East in Miami. You saw him. He did not do a good job with the Dolphins. You saw the issues in the locker room. Again, going back to cultural things. You saw that despite his reputation for being a great offensive mind, it really was not deserved. His offense has struggled quite a bit. He struggled building a coaching staff, connecting with his players, adjusting his scheme. Pretty much, if you made a list of attributes you did not want in a head coach, Adam Gase showed them in Miami. And he came to New York and he was the same guy. I mean, what else can you say about Adam Gase than the fact that he got the job with the Miami Dolphins, fired after 3 years? The team was in such disarray that they essentially had to tear everything down and just start from scratch. And the Jets are pretty much in the same situation after firing Gase. The guy has had two head coaching jobs and left both teams in ruins. So I think just the fact he's not Adam Gase, I think this fan base for the Jets would have embraced anybody. But I think I think everybody's really happy to have Robert Saleh. And I think the more you read about him, the happier people are, the more it seems like he is the right guy for this job. But people are just so happy that Adam Gase is not the head coach anymore that I think they would have loved anybody that the Jets hired.
Yeah, that's a great point about that's the perfect act to follow. And even with more context now, a couple years later after the Gase hire, well, first of all, it was too late. He was already hired. And then the press conference, he gets announced, which was super strange. And people had flying tacos going around his head. And it was like, what was that? What did we just watch? And it probably didn't give any extra confidence to Jets fans that probably didn't want him to start with. And then you see what happened with Miami, instantly get turned around with a better coaching staff. You see the Tennessee Titans take Adam Gase's old quarterback and turn him into, you know, a playoff quarterback in Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. And you start to say, like, geez, okay, everybody's better either before or after Adam Gase. So when you have that context and you see that for a couple of years, I think it's the right move for the Jets to change things up. And they go to the defensive side of the ball with their head coach now in Robert Saleh.
The conference championship games are on their way in the NFL this weekend, and there's only one place that has you covered: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. We have Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field in the NFC championship game, and we have the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. And you don't need to sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get it in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word, LOCKEDON with no space, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. When it comes to getting into or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. One membership lets up to 5 family members work out all at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon.
So let's get into that, John, and just let me have it. Whatever you want to know about Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, we can get into that conversation, because I'm excited for the Jets. And I already liked the direction the Jets were going since Joe Douglas got hired. I thought they had a fantastic draft last year. If they keep that going, they could probably turn this around quicker than most people think.
Yeah, I think you also have to consider that the Jets have multiple first-round picks the next 2 years, and they're going to enter this offseason with a lot of salary cap space, which is unique because a lot of teams in the NFL are going to be facing a cap crunch. So the Jets do have the opportunity to turn things around. But Brian, you know, the first thing I'm going to ask you is not so much about Saleh specifically or Mike LaFleur. What I want to know is, going back a few years, it seemed like when Kyle Shanahan and his coaching staff, which included Saleh, took over back in 2017, they were in a very similar situation to where the Jets are, where there was a lack of success on the field, and it seemed like there were major cultural issues within the franchise. And I was wondering if you could take us through how the 49ers built themselves into the franchise we see today.
You know, what's interesting about it is it came quicker than expected. Even though at first Robert Saleh was the one that nobody was really sure about because he was sort of an unknown coach. He was a linebacker's coach. Most people thought, okay, first time head coach in Kyle Shanahan, first time GM in John Lynch. They're going to go with, you know, a Wade Phillips or someone to be the head coach of the defense, an old time coach to have some veteran leadership there in the coaching staff. And then they went with the young guy in Robert Saleh that most people before the whole process of coach searching started in 2017, nobody really knew who he was. And people were slow to come around on Robert Saleh until, and even after 2018, when it was only year two of the rebuild and they still were a little bit short, especially on pass rushers on the defensive line, people were calling for Robert Saleh's head and people weren't really sure with the regime, what it was going to look like yet after a couple of failed first round picks in their first draft. And then in 2017, at the end of the year, having Jimmy Garoppolo show up, I think helped and gave him a little bit of confidence, seeing that maybe they got their quarterback. 2018, he got hurt, so it was kind of a pass, and it was still early on in the rebuild. Then 2019, you get Nick Bosa and Dee Ford in there to help on defense, and they started to be a little bit more multiple on the defensive side of the ball and not such a strict cover three Seattle-type defense, and the offense started playing better, and you got good quarterback play, and Jimmy was healthy, and all of a sudden you started winning a bunch of games, and people started to realize how good of a coaching staff the 49ers had there and how good of a coach Robert Saleh was. And he started to get a little bit more publicity, a little bit more TV time, fired up on the sideline, you know, the famous shots of him getting really pumped up. And it's funny because he doesn't really have that attitude except for on game days on the sideline, because he's really reserved. He's really smart. He's sharp and everything he says is well thought out when he's at the podium. But when he's on the sideline in the game, he gets that adrenaline going and he's all hulked up and muscled up too, which adds to that persona. But really what's been impressive with Robert Saleh and the whole build, because in 2019, they got the bullets on defense and they had Richard Sherman and they had Fred Warner developing and they had Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner and Dee Ford, and they just had so much talent that it was like, okay, was it the talent or was it the coaching? And then you fast forward to 2020 and you see a defense that the 49ers lose a lot of those players for all, if not or most, if not all the season in some cases. And the defense is even more versatile and more multiple, and they're throwing more looks at teams, and they're still a top 10, top five defense, depending on whose rankings you look at. And I think the 2020 coaching job by Robert Saleh with the 49ers defense was even more impressive than the league's top defense that he coached in 2019.
I totally agree, Brian. In fact, throughout this process, you know, one of the questions I had was looking back to 2019, how much of it was Saleh, how much of it was the talent? And one of the things that gave me a lot of confidence was looking at the job he did in 2020 when he had so many key players out. Now, could you take us through some of his broader philosophical underpinnings of the defense that he runs?
Yeah, and another thing I want to say, even before we get to the X's and O's, and this is not only Saleh, but it goes to Shanahan and it goes to John Lynch, and kudos to those guys, because even though they missed on some draft picks and maybe early on in free agency brought in some people that they were familiar with but weren't really great players and kind of threw away some cash by signing people who weren't impactful, they set up a culture. And at the time, I didn't really see it when they were giving too much money to Malcolm Smith to play linebacker. And you know, he wasn't very good and really didn't even end up playing all that much. And Brian Hoyer, and you know, it was like, well, what's really going on here? Because you're signing people that aren't really going to help you win any games. But they set up a culture and they brought in the right type of human beings, the right type of people. And I think that's one of the things with Saleh, and I think that's one of the things you see play out every weekend with the 49ers, even in some games when they were getting blown out. The defense was, you know, down multiple scores in the fourth quarter. They were flying around playing their butts off. So high character people playing fast, playing for their coach. He had their mind right. There was no quit on that team on the defensive side of the ball, which is really impressive. So I think he gets people motivated. I think he has the right answers for his players, which is key. It's not just, he's not just going to yell at you. He's going to give you an answer for what he wants you to do. And the fact that they always played for him and there was no quit, I think that says a lot about Saleh. I also think it says a lot about Shanahan and John Lynch for the right type of people that they brought in and built a culture, which I think is going to be very important for Robert Saleh to continue in New York.
Let's talk about his defense. What are some of the philosophical things that he likes to bring to that side of the ball?
You'll probably hear him say, And I don't know if you've heard him speak yet or when he'll actually be officially introduced to the Jets, but he's going to talk about playing fast and he's going to talk about playing violent. And I think deep down he wants his defense to be simple because he wants his players to be able to play as fast as possible. You know, play the run on the way to the quarterback with the defensive line. He wants them to be playing violent and know their assignment and not have to be guessing and not have to be thinking out there too much. Just reacting, playing fast and playing violent. So I would probably play fast and violent on my bingo card for sure if I'm listening to Robert Saleh's intro press conference. And so that's pretty much what it's all built around. And I think it was simpler at first. And I think some of it because he needed to blitz more often in 2020 to get home and pressure the quarterback, because a lot of it's based on pressure. Because if you have your cornerbacks hanging out all day and you can't get home, you can't pressure the quarterback, it's going to be a long day. So he wants to have a really mean, good defensive line. If you can create pressure with four, then that makes things a lot easier on the back end and allow those players to play fast and play violent.
Now, what can you tell us about Mike LaFleur, who sounds like he's going to be the next Jets offensive coordinator?
He's a little bit more of a mystery. His big brother, obviously, is the head coach in Green Bay, and LaFleur has had the opportunity to work behind Shanahan, who's, you know, a genius offensive mind, and he's had a big part of game planning throughout the week. And it's really hard to know exactly what his role has been behind the scenes in game planning. Is it when he was the pass game coordinator for the 49ers in recent years, was he sort of game planning the entire passing game for the week and then presenting it to the coach at the end of the week, and then Shanahan was, you know, sort of making changes to that and then calling plays? So there's just a lot that I don't know about how involved Mike LaFleur was with the 49ers game planning and the 49ers offense. And of course, you never know what a guy is going to be like as a play caller because he hasn't had a chance to call plays in the NFL. But one thing that is clear is he's well respected around the league. He is a very bright guy. And I'm actually as interested as you are probably to see what that offense looks like, to see how close it resembles Kyle Shanahan's offense in San Francisco.
Well, I think Jets fans are hoping it's very similar. One thing I've heard over the last couple of years is how jealous Jets fans are of the offenses many teams run with complex motions, with
play action,
lots of different play action formations, all the stuff that we did not see under Adam Gase. So if it looks anything like the 49ers offense, I think Jets fans are in for a treat.
Yeah, and I wonder if he'll want to employ a fullback, which it seems like most teams around the NFL don't, and the 49ers use as much fullback as anybody in the league, I think, except for the Ravens, and maybe even more than the Ravens. They like to use a lot of fullback. They like to use a lot of motion and a lot of versatile pieces, too. And I wonder if that's a piece of the offense that he'll want to bring from Kyle Shanahan, or if he'll want to maybe make things a little bit more vertical. Because under Shanahan, and I don't know if it's because of the talent they've had on the field, or you know, the quarterback, or a little bit of both, but Shanahan really has a type when it comes to receivers and running backs especially. And he it's almost like, and it's funny because when they introduced Kyle Juszczyk, when they signed him, they called him OW, offensive weapon. And Kyle Shanahan likes to be able to run out there with all of his skill guys, and you don't know who they're going to hand off to, who they're going to throw to. Everyone can catch. Everyone can run a little bit. He treats Debo like a running back sometimes. He treats Brandon Ayuk like a running back sometimes. He even treats George Kittle like a running back sometimes. These guys can all run after the catch. They can take a short pass a long way. A ton of motion, more motion than any team in the league. A lot of play action and a lot of leaking fullbacks and tight ends wide, completely wide open where there's not a defender 10 to 15 yards of them. I wonder if that's the style of offense Mike LaFleur will want to run, or if he'll want to take advantage of whatever his quarterbacks, because I think it's pretty clear. And we saw some really cool throws from Sam Darnold when the 49ers and Jets played this year. Sam Darnold will show some flashes, and he does have a bigger arm than Jimmy Garoppolo despite his faults, and we'll see if a better coaching staff helps him, or if the Jets decide, which I think we'll talk a little bit about the draft here in a minute, if the Jets decide to go with the quarterback in the draft, whoever that is, Darnold or the number two pick, they're going to have a quarterback that probably has quite a bit of arm strength, and they might be able to push the ball down the field a little bit more. So we'll see if Michael Fleur's offense looks a little bit more vertical than Kyle Shanahan's has.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. RockAuto.com's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious. There are now 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go with the 12 original flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com.
As we set up this crossover show, one of the things we were going to talk about are players from the 49ers who may interest the Jets and players from the Jets who may interest the 49ers. Yeah. And it's a bit of an unfair discussion because one of these teams has many more intriguing players than the other, but who are some guys who may be available from the 49ers who you think Saleh may look to bring over to New York?
Wow, and there's a lot of them. The 49ers have, I think, 40 or so free agents when you count unrestricted and restricted free agents and exclusive rights free agents. I mean, there's just so many of them. But the ones on defense are the real obvious ones, and it starts with Richard Sherman at cornerback. Jaquaski Tartt at strong safety, and the one to really look out for, which actually Richard Sherman brought it to our attention, is Kaywan Williams, who's actually a New Jersey native, and he's been one of the better nickel corners, slot cornerbacks for a while in the NFL, and I know Robert Saleh loves him, and the 49ers are under a little bit of a cash crunch, and I think they will do everything they can to try to re-sign Trent Williams first, and then maybe Jason Verrett, who's another one, if the Niners can't re-sign, would be interesting for New York. But if I had to guess in order who would be a good fit for Robert Saleh and the Jets to bring over, it would probably be Sherman and Kaywan Williams, and then maybe Jaquaski Tartt if the Jets can't figure out a way to keep Marcus May around.
Oh, man. That, you know, Marcus May is about the only free agent that I think the Jets need to prioritize.
That's probably it. And who knows? Maybe that will be something that allows the Jets to keep Marcus May around, because the last couple of years probably didn't fill him with a lot of confidence. But it could be a fun defense for, I'm sure, a safety to play in. So maybe that'll be something that allows Marcus May to maybe think about sticking around, whereas I would have thought maybe he would be out the door before they brought this new coaching staff in.
Yeah, it sounded like before we started recording, we were talking about it. It sounds like you had your eyes on Marcus May a little bit, Brian.
No, like, I was just wondering.
We don't have enough good players, Brian. Let us have one good player.
And there's a lot of good safeties around the league. So, there's not that many starting spots open. But that, I was more thinking about it from the angle of Jaquaski Tartt, because if Marcus May goes, I would be shocked if Tartt doesn't sign with New York at this point.
Yeah, May is a really solid player. May is a guy who always flew under the radar because he was drafted in the second round in 2017. The first round that year, the Jets took another safety, Jamal Adams. And up until last year, that was kind of the story of May's career, is that he was always under the radar because Jamal Adams, who was his partner, got all the attention. And I was happy to see, it seemed like people finally started to notice that May was a really solid player in 2020. And look, he's not as flashy as Adams. He doesn't put up the sack numbers that Adams does. You don't see him make the splash plays, but he's just a really solid guy playing the deep middle in your defense. And I'm certainly hoping the Jets are able to find a way to keep him around.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's not like there's a shortage of cap space for the Jets to do whatever they need to do. So you got to spend the money on your own when you develop a guy like that. Although, even though Joe Douglas didn't draft him, right? And Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold either, which is interesting. And I've seen some fans out there kicking around the idea. How about this one? Jimmy Garoppolo for Sam Darnold, straight up. Would you do that trade? I don't think it's even logical or would happen at all, but I think it is an interesting one. Darnold and the 49ers, I could see it being somewhat of a fit, but again, now they're running the same offense, so if however the 49ers feel about Jimmy Garoppolo is probably how Mike LaFleur and Robert Saleh feel about Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's an interesting one that I don't think would happen, but I've seen that be thrown around a little bit. So first of all, I got to ask you before we can start talking about that, Sam Darnold, yay or nay, is he a keeper or do you just go in the draft and say, look, we got to start this thing over?
That's the question. You know, under normal circumstances, I'd probably tell you the Jets are drafting somebody, but there's been so much buzz. Adam Schefter the other day said that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh both really believe in Darnold, and you could dismiss that as a smokescreen, but the thing that's amazing for me is that across the league, there seems to be a lot of belief that Sam Darnold can turn it around, and I think any objective observer would tell you Darnold has not been put in a position to succeed, whether you're talking about the coaching, whether you're talking about just the terrible supporting cast the Jets have put out there. There have been rumors out there the Jets could get a day two pick, maybe even a day one pick if they put him on the trade block, which leads me to believe that even though a lot of people are justifiably down on him, I think there's a chance the Jets give him one more year. And you know, a point that I keep making is 2 years ago when this Jets job was open, whoever was hired, their job was going to be tied to Sam Darnold because they had just drafted him the year before. And that's not the case this time. You have to assume the Jets are not going to pick up his fifth-year option, which makes this the last year of his contract. So if you go with Darnold in 2021, it's not like you're committing to him for the long run. You're essentially giving him a one-year audition to see what he can do going forward. And, you know, Brian, you raised an interesting question. I'm not sure whether either side would do a Darnold for Garoppolo trade. Yeah. One thing I would note is that Darnold's rookie year, and look, it was not that successful, but again, in context, you have to understand what he was dealing with. But Darnold's rookie year, he did have some success playing under Jeremy Bates as his offensive coordinator. And Jeremy Bates was a guy who came up under Kyle Shanahan's father, Mike Shanahan. He worked in Denver, and that's where he developed a lot of his offensive philosophies. Now, he's not as good of an offensive mind as Kyle Shanahan, but working under a lot of the same principles, Darnold had moments where he looked really good. So, you know, I don't know whether the Jets would be interested in dealing him. I don't know whether there'd be a Garoppolo for Darnold swap, but it is an interesting idea.
It is very interesting. It's one of those where I think both teams would say no, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities, I guess. If the Jets really wanted to bring Jimmy and the Niners wanted to start over and try some new things at quarterback, I tend to think the Jets are definitely going to restart the clock on a rookie quarterback with the second pick. The biggest reason is because there's not a Chase Young. There's not a Bosa at number two, which I think would really tempt Robert Saleh. I think they want to build around the defensive line. That prospect just really isn't there this year. So unless they're able to trade out of there, and look, they have a lot of picks already. So at some point you got to use those picks and get some impact players. To me, you find out you do the evaluations, you decide which quarterback fits your scheme the best. I tend to think it's going to be Zach Wilson, number two. I just think that's the way this thing's going to go. And then, you know, you're not under a cap crunch, so you could still have Darnold compete for the job and maybe trade Darnold later. Or if you get a good offer, trade him now. But I just feel like that's the direction this thing has to go. But if it doesn't, who knows? Maybe the Jets and the Niners could dance there, and the 49ers could be the ones on the horn trying to move up and get a young quarterback.
You know what's interesting, Brian? Something that I've noticed is that when the 49ers came in, when their current regime came in, it looked like they were in need of a quarterback, and they had the second overall pick, and they ended up trading down as the Bears traded up for Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes.
And they waited till halfway through the first year to get their quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I wonder whether Saleh's thinking of that, whether maybe they'll find the same form, maybe they'll go with the same formula and try and build up the rest of the roster first. I don't know whether they're going to do things the exact same way, but that is something I've noticed.
Or if they'll learn from that and be like, what were we doing reaching for a tweener defensive lineman when we should have drafted the quarterback? And so they'll say, we have to take the quarterback here because you got to get that position right. So that is interesting that they're in a very similar spot to what the 49ers were in 2017. I would say it would have been a lot more likely for me on the outside looking in that they would take a defensive lineman if there was a stud like Chase Young or one of the Bosas or someone like that there at number two. I just don't see that prospect there. So I think it's probably too valuable to the Jets to not either go quarterback there or trade down to a team that's trying to move up for a quarterback just to maximize the value of that number two draft pick. And by the way, speaking of quarterbacks and speaking of players that could be available, that could be an avenue for the number two pick. It's looking surprisingly more and more like Deshaun Watson could be on his way out of Houston, and the Jets certainly have a whole bunch of draft picks that they could throw at Houston if Watson was to actually become available. Are Jets fans as excited about the idea of trading for Deshaun Watson as 49ers fans are?
Jets fans are always excited about the idea of trading for a player with a big name. It's what we do. Hopefully that will change with Robert Saleh. But for Jets fans, the offseason is frequently more exciting than the actual season itself. And, you know, about a week ago, I would have told you it's not happening. Part of it's I was skeptical that Watson would actually want out of Houston. The more time passes, the more I feel like, you know what, maybe it could happen. The Jets do have a lot of extra picks. And, you know, as you know, Brian, sometimes in the NFL, it's not only about what a player brings on the field, and Deshaun Watson brings a lot on the field. Sometimes ownership, you know, you give them the opportunity to add a 25-year-old new face of your franchise, a star to generate buzz, especially a team that has had no recent success, a fan base that's been really frustrated. You have a chance to bring in a star like that. Sometimes that impacts the decision. You know, it's funny because a week ago, I remember I was talking on Locked On Jets and I was very skeptical of the idea. And the more time goes on, the more I think, you know what? Maybe it is a possibility. Certainly, I mean, it certainly makes a lot of sense to bring in a 25-year-old quarterback who plays at the level Watson does. That certainly would go a long way towards restarting this, towards accelerating this rebuild the Jets are under. So, you know, there's a lot of ways it could be a match. We'll have to see. Watson does have a no trade clause, so are the Jets the team he'd be targeting? That's still unclear. But yeah, I was a little dismissive last week, but over the last few days, I've thought about it more and more, and it's starting to seem like something that at least could be on the horizon.
Yeah, every day Schefter has a tweet that starts to convince me, because and I still don't think it's going to happen. I don't see why the Texans would have to do anything, but every day I wake up, Schefter's got another tweet that starts to bring that 99.99% chance he stays in Houston down. I'd say it's about a 91% chance for me right now, if I was to gauge it. And by the way, according to reports, Robert Saleh was one of the coaches that Deshaun Watson wanted Houston to interview, and Houston was the only team that didn't request to interview Robert Saleh. So maybe he will actually love the idea of going to New York now with Robert Saleh there and be able to play in that Shanahan offense. And that's what I think is the most exciting part about all of this, is just seeing a young star player play in a Shanahan offense. So I almost feel like if he does become available, and I don't think the 49ers can compete with, say, the Dolphins and Jets at 2 and 3, especially if they get in a bidding war with each other in the same division, as long as Houston's trying to trade him to the AFC. If Houston doesn't want to send him in conference to the AFC, wants to go NFC, I almost feel like the 49ers can't overpay for a star quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's offense. That would be a lot of fun. And, you know, first round picks be damned.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to figure out what's going on with that Houston franchise. So I guess anything's possible. And Jets fans have seen this when it looks like your team has no idea what they're doing. You know that it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen. You know, I've heard some people suggest that because the Texans gave away DeAndre Hopkins for practically nothing, that means that Watson's going to be given away at a discount. I kind of feel the opposite way, because after the criticism they got for that, they're going to have to get an enormous package for Watson. You'd think that they'd know that. But then again, I mean, logic seems to not exist when it comes to the Houston Texans these days. So who knows?
Yeah, there is a no trade clause involved. So he does have some say, but he doesn't just get to say, okay, trade me here. You know, they have to get a return. And I've seen some 49ers fans that are like, oh, no, he has all the leverage. I wouldn't give him more than a first round pick. I was like, well, if it costs 2 first round picks to get a star safety, it's got to cost at least 3 first-round picks to get a star 25-year-old quarterback, right?
Oh, that's like Jets fans who like, or I've heard Jets fans say, send them the second pick and Sam Darnold, and it's going to take more than that.
Yeah, it's going to take more than that. And if, you know what? They might not want Sam Darnold because they want to use the second pick on a quarterback anyway. So might have to be a third team involved, send Darnold somewhere else, use that pick to package with number two and at least one other first round pick. But one advantage that teams like the Jets and the Dolphins have versus a team like, say, the 49ers or the Patriots or whoever in the middle of the first round is that pick at two or three is worth two of the 49ers picks at 12 and next year's first, right? So you already have a leg up as far as draft picks go when it comes to value of dangling one of those top picks and that team in Houston knowing that they have that top pick and they don't have to maneuver at all and they can draft their quarterback there. So if they're willing to trade him to the AFC and they want to trade him, I would say New York and Miami have to be the favorites. Probably Miami would be the number one favorite for me.
Yeah, and you know, Brian, this friendly discussion we're having, all of this cordialness between the Jets and the 49ers, that could end very quickly if they get into a battle for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's very true. Then you'll have Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch calling up Saleh and be like, dude, we let you take Mike LaFleur. You can't do this to us. You got to let us have this quarterback. Go build it slow.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it.
The 49ers trying to undo the mistake they made in 2017 and go trade for the quarterback they should have selected at number three in Deshaun Watson. It's going to be a fun offseason, and I know it's going to be fun for Jets fans, and you nailed it when you said sometimes the offseason's more fun than the regular season, and I'm fully a believer of that. It's going to be a crazy offseason for the 49ers, too. We've got the salary cap that's dropping. Niners are going to have to make some tough decisions, but the team like the Jets, who have an opportunity to add a ton of players because there's going to be less competitions because fewer teams have the money to sign players. So I wonder how that's going to go too. And obviously a high draft pick. So it's going to be a lot of fun, John. And I'm glad we were able to have this conversation and talk about the new regime in New York. And I got to be honest, I'm a fan. I think the Jets are going to do big things. I love the head coach. I love the GM. I love the schemes on both sides of the ball.
Here's to a future crossover episode where we are getting ready for a Jets 49ers Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's talk next February for a crossover. How about that?
That sounds great, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. A lot of fun.
And thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a good Tuesday, everybody. Send in your mailbag questions for tomorrow's weekly mailbag show.